morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Coming up, we're going to discuss some of the big items in the news and take your phone calls, get your comments about all the things that are going on in the news. And as we heard there on the NPR newscast, there is a lot going on. First, two listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we spent about half of the program talking about the outcome of the impeachment trial against Donald Trump. Here's what two listeners had to say following the program yesterday.
This is Larry from Northport. I wonder if anybody has ever thought of investigating Mitch McConnell about his wife and his wife's family donating at least over $9 million to his campaign or more. His wife is Chinese. His father-in-law is S.C. Chow, who's dealt directly with the Chinese communists. His daughter, Elaine Chow, within the government, our government, the Department of Transportation, has made it much more difficult for our maritime industry in the United States to have any success. She has constantly instituted rules and regulations that inhibit our shipping industry and favor the Chinese shipping industry, of which her father is a major player in. He has duped the United States shipping industry and government that he is a positive individual for the United States. He has an office in New York under the Foremost company name, and he basically is a shill for the Chinese. And I think McConnell ought to come clean, and someone like the New York Times or CBS ought to investigate them.
Rob, this is Norman from Zephyr Hills. When times are very intense, like they are right now, the community has a lot to say. I wish your shows would go more than 1 hour.
Two listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. That first caller wanted to hear more about Mitch McConnell and his connection to China. And I should say that if you want to look at, take a deep dive at Mitch McConnell's connection to China, look up the New Yorker article by Jane Mayer, April 12, 2020. And the headline doesn't mention China, but in there, there's a lot about McConnell's connection to China. It's called How Mitch McConnell Became Trump's Enabler-in-Chief, written by Jane Mayer. And again, the New Yorker magazine, April 12, 2020. It's a good place to start. And there is a connection between Mitch McConnell and China, and it's pretty amazing. That article will tell you all about it. Well, if you want to comment about anything on this program, as usual, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. You can also email us here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. Some news locally, the 2021 Gasparilla events have been canceled because of the ongoing health and safety concerns related to the coronavirus pandemic. The events were scheduled to take place later this year in April. But the Gasparilla Parade of Pirates that was scheduled to take place on April 17th in Tampa won't happen until January of next year, according to the parade organizers. The Children's Parade has been canceled this year. It's going to return next year. The Ybor City Nighttime Parade is going to happen, but it's going to happen next year, not this year. February 26th, 2022 is the date. The organizers say there have been 10 times in the history of the Gasparilla Parade since it was founded in 1904 that events have been canceled. So that's some news locally. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Well, bipartisan support appears to be growing in Washington for an independent commission to look at what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi describes as the domestic terror attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. We get this report from Jennifer King, who works for the Associated Press.
While Senate hearings and reviews have already been planned, bipartisan support appears to be growing for an independent commission to look into the domestic terror attack on the U.S. Capitol. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Congress will establish an independent September 11th-style commission to look into the deadly insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. In a letter to Democratic colleagues, she says the House will also put forth supplemental spending to boost security. In an interview with ABC's This Week, Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy, one of seven Republicans who voted to convict Trump, said there should be a complete investigation about what happened.
What was known, who knew it, and when they knew it, all that, because that builds the basis so this never happens again in the future.
Jennifer King, Washington.
All right, and we could talk about that. There's more news, and we heard some of it at the top of the NPR newscast a moment ago. I'll mention it again, that big lawsuit against Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani. But if you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, you can call us up 813-239-9663. Well, around the country, Republicans are going after people that supported the impeachment of Donald Trump. The North Carolina Republican Party has voted to censure its Senator Richard Burr over his vote to convict former President Trump during Trump's second impeachment trial. It's part of a wave of censure votes across the country against Republicans who voted to impeach or to convict Trump for inciting insurrection.
The North Carolina Republican Party has voted to censure Senator Richard Burr over his vote to convict former President Donald Trump during Trump's second impeachment trial. Burr is one of seven Republicans who voted to convict Trump of incitement of insurrection on Saturday. And while that made it the most bipartisan Senate vote for impeachment, the final tally was 10 votes short of the two-thirds majority needed for conviction. North Carolina GOP Chairman Michael Whatley says the resolution to censure Senator Burr is merely symbolic, but it expresses the party's disagreement and disappointment with Burr's decision. Burr has represented North Carolina in Congress for 26 years, the last 16 as senator. He announced several years ago that he will not run for re-election in 2022. I'm Ben Thomas.
So we could talk about that, too. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. There's a pelican rescue group in Bradenton, and they want state wildlife officials to heighten patrols at a popular fishing pier in Manatee County after more than a dozen mutilated birds were discovered over the past month in the area. State officials say they're investigating the incidents. Friends of the Pelicans, the group says some 16 disfigured birds have been found since January 9th on the Manatee County side of the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. Some of the birds were discovered as recently as last week. The group says it has managed to save all but one of the disfigured birds. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. This story, I think, is going to turn out to be big, and we mentioned it yesterday here on WMNF. Just weeks before the start of another legislative session in Tallahassee, both political parties are squaring off over a highly controversial change to the election laws. Steve Bosquet reports on why Republicans want to make it harder for voters to request mail-in ballots in future elections. Here's the report from Steve Bosquet.
Florida's 2020 election had an unusually high turnout, and one reason was a record number of ballots cast by mail, especially by Democrats. By law, voters must request a mail ballot, and the request is valid through two election cycles, one for president and one for governor. But Republican Senator Dennis Baxley of Ocala wants to change the law to require every voter to ask for a mail ballot in every calendar year there's an election. Baxley worries about voters getting the wrong ballots.
My concern is, as mobile of a society as we are, this could be out of alignment with where, I mean, I know people that have moved three or four times in 2 years. It's just, I think, opening it to opportunity for something to go wrong. But I think this is a place to avoid some risk.
Election supervisors say safeguards exist. If mail ballots can't be delivered, the post office returns them, except when there's no forwarding address. Baxley worries the new resident could keep the ballot as junk mail or even try to cast it. But election supervisors say ballots are closely reviewed to make sure voter signatures match what's on file. Tallahassee Supervisor of Elections Mark Early says the existing law works well and should not be changed.
Well, I think the public is used to being able to request for two election cycles when they make the request. I think there is a big logistical problem in presidential election years because the language of the bill says the request has to be in the calendar year that the elections occur. January 1 of 2024 is when that calendar year starts, of course, and the election for the president's preference primary is typically held in mid-March or earlier.
Hillsborough County Election Supervisor Craig Latimer says Baxley's proposed change will cost a massive amount of money, and Early says it's not good policy to constantly change the voting laws.
It breaks, I would say, a good faith contract that we kind of made with the voters. You know, they've requested it, we've got it on file, and they're expecting this ballot per state law. And suddenly we're changing the rules for them.
Baxley's bill, Senate Bill 90, will be debated for the first time Tuesday in the Senate Ethics and Elections Committee at the Capitol. Republicans hold a 5-4 advantage on the committee. I'm Steve Bosquet.
And that debate is going on right now in Tallahassee. We'll have more on that later this week. But what do you think? Should it be harder to request a mail-in ballot in the state of Florida? What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. That's 813-239-9663. Also, our email address is dj@wmnf.org. When you go to the Tampa Bay Times website, you'll see a new op-ed by our junior U.S. Senator, Rick Scott. And Scott issued a press release earlier today saying that America can't keep spending without consequence. We must address our debt crisis now. The senator wrote the op-ed for the Tampa Bay Times saying how the Biden administration and Congress must take significant immediate action to address our nation's federal debt crisis, which currently sits at a massive and what he calls unsustainable $27 trillion. Since becoming senator, Senator Scott has been calling for the federal government to address this crisis and rein in the out-of-control spending that is putting our country's future at risk, he says. In the op-ed, the Republican Senator Scott says that since being elected to represent Florida in the U.S. Senate, I've fought hard to call out wasteful spending and offer solutions to make our government more efficient and accountable to the taxpayers. This should be the foundation of our work and service to our constituents. We can't forget that every dollar the federal government spends is borrowed from the American people. Sadly, over the past 2 years I've been in Washington, I've realized that while many politicians make promises to uphold these values, very few put their words into practice. It's no wonder, then, that our national debt continues to grow out of control in 2020 alone, writes Scott. The federal government increased its debt by more than $4 trillion. Today it sits at a massive and unsustainable $27 trillion. This is the first press release that our Senator Rick Scott has put out about the debt. He did not say anything about it last year. What do you think about that? Do you think that that is the most pressing problem facing our country? That's an op-ed that's going to be in the Tampa Bay Times on their website soon. Rick Scott calling for the country to address the debt crisis now. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to our first caller today. Mike in Brandon is calling. Mike, what would you like to comment about?
At this point in time, our economy is all magical. I mean, you don't suddenly pull trillions of dollars out of nowhere. So for Scott, who is a crook in himself, you know, he's so crooked, that to supposedly worry about the national debt is just, it's ridiculous. What it is right now, it's bridging the time between someone can get a job that can pay a livable wage and meeting their immediate expenses. And now is not the time to prevent that. Also, you know, he has no problem with the tax cut, which by all accounts was disastrous, which added to the national debt. So for Scott to express that opinion, It's simply put, it's because Biden is the president, or his Democrats are the president.
Yeah, I was going to ask, why do you think he waited till now? Why didn't he complain in his first 2 years in the U.S. Senate?
Well, it's obvious, because it's the Democrats, and the Democrats, Republicans over the years have painted the Democrats as spenders and so forth. The problem is, with what happened last year, they've kind of lost their identity. Because Republicans certainly don't stand for fiscal responsibility. They're going to try to get that back, but you know they can't. So, in effect, I think the bigger question is, what are the Republican Party? What does it stand for? I don't know. Do you?
I'm going to let them speak for themselves, and if they want to call in, they can call in and say.
Yeah,
but I think it's very interesting that President Trump drove up the national debt. He skyrocketed it and did nothing to push it down. And in part, the reason was the tax cuts for the super wealthy. Every time you give a tax cut to the super wealthy, the national debt grows. And you can, and going back to the Reagan years when they tried it the first time, it just grew and grew and grew. And they keep saying tax cuts are good. They pay for themselves. They have never paid for themselves in our lifetime.
Yep, you know, Rob, that's trickled down, and you know that. You study. I know that because I study. But there are supporters of the Republican Party and those that feel that these tax cuts are in the best interest. They don't understand it. And more importantly, what is it, the fraction of 1% of the wealthiest people last year accumulated an additional $2 trillion worth of wealth?
Yeah, that's pretty close to the number. It's not it exactly, but you're right. They accumulate a lot of wealth while the rest of us, some of us, were in food lines.
So that's the whole thing. I mean, at this point in time, it from economics, I don't understand it, but and they keep saying there's no inflation, which I seriously doubt, because go and buy food at Publix. Good luck with that. With that being said, let's keep spending. And at some point in time, yeah, it will collapse. I don't know when. I don't know how. But in the meantime, people need to be able to provide themselves, have lodging and whatnot. And if it takes the government to assist them, then so be it. That's what we got to do as a nation.
Yeah, because we've got to help people, you're saying. All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, good to hear from you. I thought the most interesting line in Scott's statement was that we can't forget that every dollar the federal government spends is borrowed from the American people. And I think that's essentially right. But look at what increased in the federal spending during the Trump years. And I'm not going to say it right now, but take a look at what part of the federal spending increased the most during the Trump years. And it wasn't food stamps. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to David in Tampa. David, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. Well, you took a little bit of my thunder away with your last comments that I completely agree with. And, you know, my entire life, I'm 70 now, but since my teenage years, there's always been this voodoo hex on deficit spending, the root of all problems. But yet we've continued to do it, and it works out fine. It's just basically printing more money. And yes, as long as other things go up at the same time, it's just a concept, and Republicans kind of grasp on it because they want everything to be real simple. Like your household checkbook. In other words, you can't overspend. Well, that's what governments have to do. And that's the end of my comment. Thank you.
All right,
Rob.
David, thanks a lot. Thank you. 813-239-9663. We've got open line. You'll be able to get through right away if you call now. Rick in Tampa writes, I suggest that Senator Baxley and his friends be prevented from voting. His own admission is that he knows numerous friends who voted multiple times. He may be part of the problem, writes Rick. Actually, I think he said that he knew people that moved often. But Rick, thanks a lot. It's an interesting concept. Leslie writes that Rick Scott should consider paying more in federal income taxes. So, Rick, thanks a lot for that. And then Jim writes this: the process to request and verify mail-in ballots needs no reform. While I agree that the massive debt Trump's administration has left us and the COVID relief funds will require needs to be addressed, it's more important that the federal government stimulate the economy, writes Jim. And then Tom writes, the $27 trillion deficit, LOL. It's because of the Republicans. So much for fiscal conservatism. Father Donald's dole money is the most socialistic act in U.S. history, and yet we can't even get a public option? Hypocrites, deplorables, writes Tom in St. Petersburg. All right. Well, thank you for that. And let's take some phone calls. Let's go to, let me read some more of these emails. We've got an open line, 813-239-9663. Anonymous writes, Senator Scott is setting up the two Santa Claus theory idea in the op-ed. There's some thought out there that what happens during Republican administrations is that they dig a deeper and deeper deficit hole by giving tax breaks to the people that don't deserve it. And then it's up to the Democrats to come in and be fiscally responsible and begin to solve the deficit problem. Martin in Palm Harbor says, a good letter on this in the Tampa Bay Times. The debt has gone up each time a Republican has been in the White House going back to Reagan. Clinton not only wiped it out, but left office with a surplus. It exploded. The national debt exploded under Trump, writes Martin in Palm Harbor. And Anonymous writes, we all knew this was coming from the Republicans. They always complain about the debt. Whether in power, it was a toss-up who was going to say something first, Rubio, Scott, or Senator Rand Paul, writes Anonymous. All right, thank you for that. Let's go to Louis in Brandon. Louis, you're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Well, it's a direct response to Senator Scott. It seems to me that he's complaining about the cost of water while his house is on fire. It just doesn't make any sense to talk about passing the debt on to the future.
Yeah, well, his house is not on fire for sure. I mean, whatever happens, he's safe because he's got hundreds of millions of dollars that he took from Medicare. But
yeah, true.
Yeah, but your point, our house is on fire.
His neighbor's house is on fire. He's complaining about the cost of books.
Yeah. I think that's a good analogy. Yeah. Okay, Louis, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, and you're listening to a live local program on 88.5 FM. Let's go to David in Pinellas County. Hey, David, you're on. David, did we lose you? David, are you there? David and Pinellas. Okay, we'll put you on hold and bring you back maybe. And let's go to Paul in Dunedin. Hey, Paul, you're on M&F.
Hey, Rob. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just comment on Rick Scott and then just an idea for helping to balance the budget. Rick Scott ran a company that stole from the federal government, and if he'd have done that in China, they would have executed him for it, and Florida voters made him a senator. And my financial comment is they should do the FICA tax on passive income for all these rich people, make them the FICA, just like the butcher at Walmart has to pay, and that might raise a little money.
Yeah, that would help certainly solve the Social Security problem in the long term.
Yeah, anyway, have a nice day.
Okay, that's a great comment. Thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. Dee from Tampa writes, did Rick Scott or Ron DeSantis complain about the expense of the wall being built? Yeah, if the federal government, when it spends money, borrows money, all the billions that President Trump made the government spend on the wall was all borrowed money. So did Rick Scott or Ron DeSantis complain about that? No, they did not. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to a little bit of an alternative to the kind of thinking that our junior U.S. Senator Rick Scott has. This is Robert Reich, the former Secretary of Labor, under President Clinton. He puts out almost daily commentaries, and let's listen to a commentary that he put out yesterday about the U.S.
I keep hearing that Joe Biden has to govern from the center. He has no choice, they say, because he has razor-thin majorities in Congress and the Republican Party has moved to the right. Well, that's rubbish. First, there's no center between the reality-based world and the conspiracy-fueled, hate-filled world of today's Republican Party. Second, the problems the country is facing cannot be solved with milquetoast centrist solutions. They demand immediate, bold action. I've been in or around politics for 50 years. I've served several Democratic presidents who have needed Republican votes. But the Republicans now in Congress are nothing like those I've dealt with. Today's Republican Party is a cult. 93% of House Republicans voted against impeaching Trump for inciting an insurrection. And Senate Republicans refused to convict him. This is after Trump's insurrection threatened even their own lives. The 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Trump are facing backlash from their colleagues, with some even calling to remove Liz Cheney from her leadership position. But hardly any have condemned the vile conspiracy theory spouted by Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has claimed that the Sandy Hook and Parkland school shootings were false flags, and that the deadly California wildfires were sparked by a Jewish space laser, among other wild lies. All of this marks the culmination of the GOP's growing lunacy over the last 4 years. With Trump at its head, the Republican Party has embraced blatant white supremacy.
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
And now inhabits a counterfactual wonderland of lies and conspiracies. Even by mid-January, polls show 3 out of 4 Republicans don't think Biden won legitimately. 45% support the storming of the Capitol. 57% say Trump should be the Republican candidate in 2024. And a growing fringe, including some Republicans in Congress, openly talk of redressing grievances through violence.
Today is the day American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass.
With this Republican Party, Biden cannot be a centrist. Instead, he must deliver bold change for the American people, refusing to compromise with violent Trumpism, supporting those in Congress who want to bar Trump from ever running again and expel his co-conspirators from the House and Senate. Don't listen to people claiming this would be a distraction from Biden's agenda. There is no healing without accountability. If we let those who incited this insurrection off the hook, we're inviting it to happen again. And next time, they might succeed. It should all be part of Biden's agenda. Biden must fight for democracy and against authoritarianism, including strengthening voting rights, getting big money out of politics, and taking on the Republican Party's anti-democratic agenda of gerrymandering and voter suppression. There's no longer a center in American politics. No middle ground between lies and facts. No halfway point between civil discourse and violence. No mid-range between democracy and fascism. We either have a future based on lies, violence, and authoritarianism, or on unyielding truth, unshakable civility, and democracy. Biden and the Democrats must fight for the latter.
All right, so that's the views of Robert Reich, the former labor secretary, who makes the point that there's no compromise between democracy and fascism, and he says there's no healing without accountability. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Pat in Tampa. Hey, Pat, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, first of all, I absolutely love your show.
Well,
second
thank you.
Thought is what I'm saying is all the jobs being automated and all the jobs being outsourced, our whole system is going to collapse in a matter of years. because no one's paying, you know, to have people in the hospital, Medicare and Medicaid, and no one's putting into the kitty for our Social Security. We're not going to have anything in about 4 or 5 years. Everything's going to be dissolved like they're doing with the rest of our country and the supplies we're getting. Have you been shopping lately? There is no product. And what they're sending is wearing men's underpants. People, the blouses are so thin you can see right through them. I just wanted to say that, and thank you so much for your show.
All right, Pat, thanks a lot. Pat, by any chance, do you have any experience with being replaced by outsourcing or robots?
Robots, you can see it right in Walmart. There's one clerk. All stores are the same thing. Nobody's paying Social Security now. There's just a few clerks.
Yeah, it is interesting going into these giant stores and seeing very few staff. All right, Pat, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank
you. All right, good to hear from you. Greg writes, Rick Scott, and it has values? Ha, ha, ha. His Columbia hospital chain that screwed Medicare out of billions of dollars was fined almost $2 billion, writes Greg. He pleaded the Fifth 75 times in court. Rick Scott is the richest senator in Congress. He owns $255 million. How can he talk about values, writes Greg. Greg, thank you for that. And then Charles in Tampa writes, search the internet for the two Santas theory. This pathetic Republican tactic is nothing new. Run up the debt while in office and proclaim how brilliant they are at boosting the economy. And then the minute Dems are in charge, they start screaming about the debt and blaming the fictitious tax and spend Democrats. Yeah, I mean, look at what spending did increase under President Trump. Look at where it increased. I know the answer to that, but where did it increase most under President Trump? Look it up. 813-239-9663. Let's go to David in Pinellas County. Hi, David. You're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Hi. I've been listening for a little while now. I'm agreeing with all your callers. I agree that we do need the stimulus now to get the economy going. I also know that we ran up a heck of a debt, and that needs to be taken care of, which leads me to this. I think billionaires ought to be taxed up one side and down the other on the cash that they have sitting around. And the reason why I say it is I'm getting close to retirement, my wife and I, and she's constantly looking at the stock market. And what I tell her is this. Imagine you had $1,000 invested and you're earning, 5% in 1 year, which is conservatively. You're getting $50. Imagine if that's $10,000. How much is that?
And then imagine if it's $1 billion, yeah.
That's
if you're getting 5%
right.
on $1 billion, yeah.
Exactly right. And you know they're getting more, and that's money that's just sitting there earning money. You know, their argument is, I worked hard for this money, I deserve it. But now they have money sitting around making more money than we can ever make. And I think that money needs to be taxed left and right to take care of the deficits that were running up.
Yeah, but the point of the tax cut a few years ago by President Trump and the Republicans was they wanted to give billionaires more money. So they
understand that completely, but I think we see what the problem is with that, don't we?
Yeah.
After they did that, look how much money they made during the pandemic here.
Yeah. All right, David, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, good to hear from you. Let's go to Jim in Pinellas Park. Hi, Jim. You're on WMNF.
Hello, yes. My point on the $15 minimum wage would be that any business that does not pay its employees enough money to have a sustainable life and forces them to go to the government for assistance should not be in business.
Yeah, you know, I guess I've got some sympathy for small business owners, but you're right. I mean, to me, it's always shocking to see. I walk into a big box store and these folks are paid $8, $9, $10, $12 an hour, whatever, and then I read about their owners who are billionaires who are giving hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars to political parties. And I think, well, why don't they share some of that money with the workers? And do they have to be a billionaire? I mean, how much money do you have to have? How much money is enough? And so why we gave tax breaks to billionaires, and they clearly did not reinvest it in the economy. We're not seeing factories spring up all over. We're not seeing new jobs springing up all over. We're seeing billionaires, as the previous caller said, investing money in the stock market. So it always shocks me to walk into a big box store and see how low paid the workers are, and knowing that the people at the other end, the owners, are spending lavishly on, for instance, political parties. It just seems unfair.
Thank you. I agree.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot. Thank you. We got an open line, 813-239-9663. DeMarco writes this, we must start by repealing 45's tax scam, which blasted the deficit up into outer space with tax cuts to the rich, writes DeMarco. All right, everybody pretty much agreeing on that point. Otto from 87X says, this is just Rick Scott's dog whistle way of saying, here is how he's going to be a gadfly now, writes Otto. All right, Otto, thank you for that. And Liz in Spring Hill writes, same old tired austerity argument from Republicans to the tax and spend Democrats. Funny he was silent when Trump was handing out taxpayers' money for Trump's patsies, writes Liz in Spring Hill. Brad in St. Pete writes, thank you for bringing up the national debt as a topic. I hope someday you can devote an entire program on this. With COVID-19 and other issues being of utmost importance, I really and truly feel the national debt is a can that keeps getting kicked down the road that will eventually bite us hard, writes Brad. Social Security is my main concern. As with people living longer and AI decreasing the tax base with dwindling jobs and fewer people paying into the system, it boils down to a house of cards that will eventually collapse, writes Brad in St. Pete. And then Kevin writes this, billionaires like Florida's junior Senator Rick Scott think they know the needs of poor working class people. Anyone remember the Starbucks incident in Gainesville? Play that back to remind listeners what kind of guy Rick Scott really is, writes Kevin. Let's go to Art in Largo for the next call. Hi, Art. You're on live on WMNF.
Hi, Rob. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard this morning on NPR just before your show that Israel is debating whether or not to send vaccine to medical doctors and their helpers in Gaza.
I believe that's what NPR reported. The NPR reporter said that they don't want to send money to their enemy, Hamas. That's what the NPR person said.
So is the debate really to help prevent the spread of COVID in the area, or is it to deny the vaccine as one solution to the problem of the law of return? I guess time will tell.
Yeah, I guess so. Art, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. And let's go to Richard in Pinellas Park. Richard, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yeah. Speaking about Social Security, the executive order eliminating the payroll income tax that supports Medicare and Social Security, was that a temporary thing or is that still in effect?
I think it was temporary and voluntary. And I think it is still in effect. But I got to look into it because I'm really not up on it.
Yeah, that definitely should be done away with because they pointed out that if that stayed, that in, I believe they said in 2 years, Social Security, including what I'm getting, would no longer exist.
Well, I think the current numbers, and I'll have to look these up again, I'm flying by the seat of my pants here, that at least until 2030 or maybe 2033, Social Security can pay the full amount of benefits. Then at that point, it begins to run a deficit. So it would, instead of paying 100% of benefits that have been promised, it will begin, those benefits would have to go down to something like 90, 80, or 70% of the amount promised. And that's what, there was a good op-ed in, I think, Sunday's Tampa Bay Times. One of the things that Congress should do is solve the Social Security long-term problem. There's not a short-term problem, but there is a long-term problem.
Yeah, and speaking of long-term, I hope Biden gets legislation to get rid of that ridiculous burden on the postal
service.
Yeah, let's hope the Postal Service gets fixed. I know personally of letters being mailed and taking 6 weeks to get to their destination. So I think the Postal Service...
I'm talking about, you know, the pension...
where they're forced to pay for pensions for people that are not yet employed by the post office. Yeah, that is a huge problem. I suspect that Congress will deal with that.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Richard, thanks a lot. Thank you. And we've got an open line, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Ben in Tampa. Hey, Ben, you're on M&F.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
As for all of this stuff over the deficit and taxes and all that, two words, wealth tax. Take the focus off of what people make and what people spend and focus on what people have.
Yeah, I think that's what Richard Wolf would say, too, the guy who's on just before us at 10 a.m. here on M&F.
That's about it. That's how I feel about it.
Okay, Ben, thanks a lot. Amin writes, I'm just wondering how come when it comes to the deficit, they never mention the military spending, the foreign aid, especially the so-called Israel, and then, of course, tax cuts for the rich. It's simply because they're all in together, just a mafia. You will never see one of those go to jail. I'm not sure who Amin means by those, but the military spending jumped during President Trump's administration, and as Rick Scott rightly pointed out, when the federal government spends money, it is borrowing money. So every new dollar that goes into the military is a borrowed dollar. And yet President Trump couldn't shovel money fast enough to the military. As for foreign aid, I think foreign aid, I don't have the current numbers, but I remember a few years ago when I was looking at it, it was only like $10 billion a year. Now, a lot of it does go to Israel, but as a percent of the federal budget, it wasn't a giant thing. The military budget is approaching, I think it's over now, $700 billion a year. That's more than $2,000 per U.S. citizen. We got an open line, 813-239-9663. We've got all men in the queue, so if we can get some women to call in, that would be great. Let's go to Sky in St. Pete. Hi, Sky. You're on M&F.
Hey, how are you doing? I wanted to talk about, you were talking about big box stores and their spending and not taking care of their employees. How about the heirs of Publix donating $300,000 towards the insurrectionists at the Capitol?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
That's ridiculous, man. I can't believe... And they're saying, oh, she's not the voice of the company, but all your money is going to her, and this is what she puts it towards.
Yeah, and Sky, are you boycotting Publix?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
and it's difficult because, you know, they're right by the house and all this other stuff, but what can you do, man?
Yeah, have you written the management by any chance?
No, not at all. No, I'm not going that deep into it. It's just I'll just take my dollars elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is interesting that somebody who is not even a current worker at Publix, who doesn't do any work day-to-day for the company, has enough largesse. She alone. I mean, there's a lot of... The Publix family is a pretty big family, and there's lots of divorcees, and, you know, it's extended. But just think, one person has enough money to spend $300,000 on the Capitol insurrection protest.
And then no repercussions.
Yeah. All right, Sky, thanks a lot.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you for calling. And Linda writes this, Rick Scott is disgraceful. It's okay for them to blow $27 trillion, but not okay for Dems to feed children and provide people with health care. Disgusting. People need to vote them out, writes Linda. And I wanted to talk about this other item too. And NPR reported it at the top of the last hour. And this may be a pretty big deal. And the headline is NAACP sues Trump and Giuliani after January 6th riots. And I'm reading this from Politico.com. On the heels of the Senate's acquittal of Donald Trump, the NAACP, Mississippi Congressman Benny Thompson, and the civil rights law firm Cohen, Milstein, Sellers, and Toll filed a lawsuit against the former president and Rudy Giuliani and two white supremacist groups, citing their role in the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. The lawsuit filed this morning in federal district court for the District of Columbia alleges that Trump and Giuliani, in collaboration with the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, conspired to incite the riots to keep Congress from certifying the results of the 2020 presidential election. It claims they did so in violation of the Ku Klux Klan Act. That's a Reconstruction-era statute designed to protect both formerly enslaved African Americans and lawmakers in Congress from white supremacist violence. Congressman Hank Jones and Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman will join the litigation as plaintiffs in the coming days, according to a press release. The lawsuit recounts Trump's actions leading up to the January 6th riots, building a case against him. In similar fashion to House impeachment managers, it cites Trump's remarks during the Save America rally, as evidence that he mobilized and directed insurrectionists to storm the Capitol. After his supporters entered the halls of Congress, the lawsuit alleges, Giuliani called lawmakers individually, asking them to try to slow down the Electoral College vote count. So that's a big story. Just broke this morning, shortly before 10 a.m. The NAACP is suing Trump and Giuliani over the January 6th riots. So we'll certainly be hearing more about that at 12 noon on the NPR News, and we'll be hearing more of that, I'm sure, tomorrow in Democracy Now! And if you want to comment about anything you've heard here, call us at 813-239-9663. Let's go to Beverly in Largo. Hi, Beverly. Thanks for calling MNF.
Yeah, hi, Rob. Listen, I was glad to hear, I think you read a comment about the deficit. And this, it was exactly right on, spot on. The Republicans always contribute to the deficit and then blame it on the Democrats once they're in office. Trump's huge corporate tax cuts contributed to a lot of that. A lot of that. And, of course, the tax.
Why do you think Rick Scott doesn't admit that, though? I mean, why do you think our junior U.S. senator, who's got so much experience in business, he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, why doesn't he know this?
He does know it. He knows exactly what's going on.
But in the op-ed in the Tampa Bay Times that he just wrote, and people can look online, it's not there. He doesn't accept responsibility for
it. No, he doesn't. And this is the big problem. There is no accountability. People do nowadays. It's just, you know, the big lie everywhere. Everyone, the GOP, that's all they do. And they don't accept accountability. I mean, look at the impeachment trial. I mean, it's always somebody else's fault. They were starting. I heard Nancy Pelosi being blamed for the Capitol riots on January 6th. Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. They said she didn't have control of the Capitol Police. So this is just their game. They, you know, deflect. They never accept responsibility.
Isn't being a Republican, though, I mean, that one of the claims of Republicans is that you accept personal responsibility.
Right. That's the old GOP. You know, when I was a kid, I was a young Republican. And the party then was totally different. My mom and dad were Republicans. I grew up, and then I went away. I went to college, and I became a Democrat. And but my point is, the Republican Party really needs a major overhaul, and I would like to see that because a two-party system is so important. I mean, we can't lose that.
Yeah, you know, when I grew up in a big Democratic town, but the Republicans that I knew at the time, they were the good government people. They were the people that were against bribery and graft and all sorts of things and special deals, and that's who the Republicans were. But now, the special deals and the, you know, covering up for special interests, all that's happening over on the Republican side. I mean, when it comes to polluters or anything else, it's the Republicans that are doing the cover up.
Exactly. It's not the same party at all.
Yeah.
It really needs a major overhaul. By the way, just real quickly, you know, speaking of the National Commission that's been discussed before, Speaker Pelosi says that she is establishing an outside, independent 9/11 type commission.
Yeah, that's how we started the show today. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
But, yeah, and I was so glad to see that because this is exactly what we need. It's not over yet for
Trump. Do you think the Republicans will believe the outcome, though? I mean, she doesn't want to have politicians on this commission. She wants to have independent people who are not in office.
Right.
Do you think the Republicans will accept the outcome, whatever the findings are?
I don't think they're going to have any choice, do you? I mean, if it's an independent commission with an investigation of both sides, that I think the GOP is going to have no choice but to accept it.
All right, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Beverly, call in when the results are announced by the commission.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Beverly. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Nancy in St. Pete. Hi, Nancy. You're on M&F.
Hi. Oh, okay. Well, to the lady was very, that you were just speaking with, that was very interesting. I think what the Republicans would do would be to investigate the independent panel and, just go on and on and on with that, and make a mockery of that, too. But what I just had a sort of, it's not really light, but it's sort of an observation, which is that I think the Republicans like to think of themselves as the muscular guys, that will, nothing can stand in their way, no obstacle. And they see the Democrats or even independents as feminine. And so, and what does the feminine do? The feminine comes in and cleans up the messes. The feminine, they think of the people who can't fight for themselves as also feminine because, that means weak. And so people who think are also weak because they're obviously not muscular, otherwise they go and bap somebody in the head. And, that's why they cling to this thing. They're a bunch of old white men that just can't think of anything to do but, have black people fight for them in football and basketball and baseball and all their other masculine kind of things. And it's just an observation. What do you think?
I think that's a really good point.
To come back and clean up that mess from Bush,
And he did.
And he did, too. He did.
Yeah.
But again, they have that old tax and spend kind of an argument, which just is just hilarious when you think about it. I mean, what are they, nuts?
Yeah, I think women don't get enough credit for carrying the load of cleaning up the mess created by men.
Men wouldn't do it, and they don't respect people who do that.
Yeah, Nancy, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right, thank you, Nancy. Tampa listener writes, Joe Biden is trying to remedy the economy and create real solutions by complaining about the deficit now. What the Republicans are doing is creating a distraction, writes a Tampa listener. Well, today is Mardi Gras, but it's not like any Mardi Gras ever before. There's no crowds in New Orleans. The bars are closed, and people are driving around the city looking at each other. It's kind of sad. Our Gasparillas. It was supposed to happen about this time, and then they moved it to April, and now that's been canceled, so Gasparilla won't happen until next year. But let's go out with some Zydeco music from the great Bo Jacques, one of the great Zydeco players of all time. Happy Mardi Gras. I'm Rob Lori. This is WMNF in Tampa. Stay tuned for your hero, Mark Biro. He's coming up next. And thanks to Barbara Fling, our phone producer today. We're going to get the news in just about a minute, but here's some Mardi Gras music right now on 88.5 FM.
So blue. Why can't you When I look in your dark eyes, I see my definition, yeah.